The field of Democratic presidential candidates narrowed this past week, but this morning, Ralph Nader announced he would join the race for the White House as an independent. Nader, the Green Party candidate for president in 2000, appeared on NBC's Meet the Press. Many of Nader's supporters from the 2000 race had urged him not to run. They argued that the top priority for progressives should be to help defeat President Bush in his bid for a second term, and they do not want to repeat what happened 4 years ago, when many political analysts say Nader pulled enough votes to tilt the election in Mr. Bush's favor. That argument did not persuade Nader to pass up this year's campaign, as he told Meet the Press host Tim Russert.
This country has more problems and injustices than it deserves, and more solutions and good-willed people applying those solutions. That's because of the democracy gap. There's just too much power and wealth in too few hands, increasingly giant corporation hands who have no allegiance to our country or our communities other than to control them or to abandon them.
NPR's political correspondent Mara Liasson joins us on the line now. Hello, Mara.
Hi, Leanne.
What do you make of Nader's decision to join the race?
Well, Nader certainly marches to the beat of his own drummer. He was facing what I would call a deafening chorus of Democrats who were begging him and beseeching him, do not do this, Ralph. The Democrats are very united in their desire to defeat George W. Bush, and although many of them think that he might not be able to get as many votes as he did last time, they are united in their worry and nervousness about what he might be able to do in siphoning off votes from a Democratic candidate. So Nader obviously believes that his views are not being expressed sufficiently, and he wants to express them himself, even though all the Democrats this year have been talking about unbridled corporate power and corporate cronyism and the fact that American corporations who take jobs overseas need to be reined in. But he doesn't believe that message is getting across as well as he could get it across himself.
You know, there's actually a website, RalphDon'tRun.net. I think it was sponsored by many of his former supporters. Is it President Bush that's having the unifying effect on the potential Democratic voters?
Yeah, I think President Bush has had that effect. I think this year the Democrats are very, very unified. You see it in the exit polls where voter after voter says that electability is their most important criteria for choosing a candidate, electability meaning the person who is most likely to defeat Bush. And there is a strong desire to come together. I think that's why it's happening. Now, that doesn't mean that Nader can't get a certain number of votes in key states, and that's what Democrats are worried about.
Many Green Party voters from 2000 claim that Nader's candidacy did not tilt the balance in Mr. Bush's favor. You take us back 4 years. How credible are the claims that Nader cost Al Gore the election?
Well, first of all, it's hard to prove or disprove, but certainly in at least two states, New Hampshire and Florida, Nader got more votes than the margin that Al Gore lost by. So you don't know if those voters would have stayed home if Nader wasn't on the ballot. But you could argue that since Gore only needed one state to win, you could say that mathematically Nader cost him that. I talked to Bill Richardson this morning, the governor of New Mexico, where the Green Party is very strong. He said, look, the Greens get 5% every year in every election in his state. And even if Ralph Nader isn't running on the Green Party platform, he certainly will attract some of those votes. So he is a potential factor. Although the Democrats do have an anti-Nader weapon this year that they didn't before, and he is called Howard Dean.
But Ralph Nader is not affiliated with the Green Party this time. He is running as an independent. Is that going to be difficult, then, for him to get his name on the ballots in many states? I mean, how substantial an obstacle is
well,
that?
Well, I'm not familiar with all of the rules for every state. They're different. You need a certain amount of money, and you need a certain amount of signatures on a petition. I think in some states it'll be quite easy for him to get on with the support that he does have through all of the various consumer advocacy organizations that he's founded. It shouldn't be that difficult for him. I don't know if he can get on every single ballot. But I do know that he will run into much tougher opposition, rougher seas, a big chorus from Democrats, potentially led by Howard Dean, who, don't forget, when he dropped out this week, said, I will not run as a third-party candidate or an independent, and I urge my supporters not to vote for anybody who does. And I think he only had one person in mind when he said that.
In the Democratic Party, Senator John Edwards has said it's a two-person race, is it?
Well, there are two serious candidates left in the race. I don't think it's a equal playing field between those two candidates, John Kerry and John Edwards, but John Edwards is getting the one-on-one contrast with John Kerry that he has wanted all along. The problem for Edwards is there are a lot of big states coming up. Democrats award their delegates proportionately. That means that Kerry doesn't have to win, and he'll still get a lot of delegates. So I think he has to start winning some primaries. Where he's going to do that is a little unclear. Georgia might be a place he can do well. Independents and Republicans are allowed to vote there. But he's got a tough row to hoe. He's very, very talented. The longer voters see him, the more they like him. But he still only has about a week and a half.
NPR's political correspondent, Mara Liasson. Mara, thank you very much.
Thank you, Leanne.